Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. Matthew, chapter 20, verses 15 and 16, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few chosen. Let us pray. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The hymn that introduces this broadcast every week goes like this. Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom, they help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. That summarizes the Christian faith. Jesus told parables to illustrate how matters are in the kingdom of God. In St. Matthew's Gospel, he calls it the kingdom of heaven. He tells a story about everyday life, and from it teaches us about the nature of God's kingdom, God's rule. God doesn't run things the way we do. And this is why the gospel is foolishness to those who don't have the Holy Spirit. More than foolish, the gospel seems downright unfair. The way things work in this world is that you get what you work for. If you work for 12 hours and get a day's wage, then the fellow who worked for 1 hour should get less. If he got a day's wage, you should get more. It's not fair that you are treated the same as the person who did much less work than you did. You might make allowances for the fellow who was disabled or couldn't find a job, but if you saw someone who stood around doing nothing for 11 hours, received the same pay you received after you had worked for 12 hours through the heat of the day, you would think that was unfair. And it would be, wouldn't it? That depends on your perspective. If you're working for pay, you look at things a certain way. You do the work, you earn the pay, it's your money, you earned it, you deserve it. That's your perspective as an employee. The employer may have a different perspective. In the story Jesus tells us about the workers in the vineyard, where some worked 12 hours, others 9, others 6, and others just 1, the employer took the position that he had the right to do with his money what he pleased. He had agreed with some of the workers on a denarius for 12 hours work, and that's what he paid them. They had nothing to complain about if he gave the same amount of money to those who had worked for just 1 hour. But what do you think? Do you think that's fair? What if you were the one who worked for 12 hours? Would you think it was fair if someone who worked for just 1 hour received the same wages as you? Or would you begrudge the employer his generosity? Jesus' parable teaches us that the one who gives his gifts has the right to give as he sees fit. He has the right to treat everyone the same, regardless of how much work they do. God says, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things?" God has the right to be generous with what is his. If you don't agree, he asks you another question, "Is your eye evil because I am good?" Merit has its place. Status is indispensable in the running of any efficient organization. Much of what's wrong with America can be traced to the loss of traditional manners where one's status was recognized. For example, people used to be addressed by their titles. It was considered a matter of respect to address a man as Mr. and a woman as Mrs. or Miss. Nowadays, everybody calls everybody his or her first name. Nobody is given any special status. But you know that's not true. The easy familiarity of our day can't change the fact that we are all status seekers, looking for, asking for, and eager to grasp recognition for our achievements. Whether it is something as solid as a good paycheck or something more symbolic, such as a special appointment or honor, we want status bestowed on us, and we like it when we are set apart as particularly deserving. Status, recognition, and a generous salary. They're not necessarily bad things. If you want to run a business profitably, you need to reward activities that will help the company make more money. Paying people by a fair standard, where the one who works harder and longer gets paid more, is good business. But what we need to understand as we come before God as His children is that the kingdom of Christ, that is, the Christian church, is not a business. It isn't run like a business. It is the rule of Christ, and He rules differently than any business. Now, it's true that every Christian congregation has to deal with matters of business that are required of anyone who lives in this world. You have to pay your bills, fix the building when it needs fixing, balance your budget. That's life in the world, and we live in the world. But the business matters that the church addresses are not what make us the church. What makes us the church is that we are all baptized into the same name. We all drink the same spiritual drink. We all eat the same spiritual food. We confess our sins together, and together we are absolved by the authority of Jesus Christ Himself. We all trust in the same sacrifice on Calvary. We all rely on the same grace. We share in the sin of Adam, and we have followed the evil impulses of our hearts. We have envied others instead of rejoicing with them. We have sought status for ourselves at the expense of others. We have divided ourselves into factions and have quarreled, judged one another, and set ourselves above one another. This is sin. We confess our sin, and we each receive personally, individually, through faith, the righteousness of Christ that covers all our sin and sets us before God as righteous. You can't be more righteous than Jesus, and Jesus gives us His righteousness. You can't receive more grace than to have all your sins forgiven on account of Christ's obedience and suffering. This means that you cannot have any greater status than what God gives you in Christ. All the workers in the vineyard are paid the same. Jesus said that the last will be first and the first last, for many are called but few chosen. The equality in the kingdom is an equality of God's grace. It's not an equality based on what we are, because by nature we're not equal. Despite the American creed that says otherwise, when it comes to civil law, we could appeal to Thomas Jefferson because he could teach us civics, but we don't look to him or the American creed to teach us theology. If you want a free country in which everybody's treated fairly by the civil authorities, we can talk about all men being created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. But if you want peace with God and eternal life, forget about claims to equality. Rely on God's grace instead. Natural law is fine for this world, but you cannot depend on the law of nature and nature's God if you want to belong to the kingdom of heaven. Trusting in natural law to lead you to heaven will send you to hell. We are not all created equal. And there's one reason why we fight and bicker and envy one another. This one has more. That one's smarter. He got better breaks. She's prettier. He's healthier. His parents have the political connections. Her home is nicer, and her kids are treated more favorably than mine. Oh, no, we're not equal. And what's more, we don't want to be equal. It's not fair that he gets what I got. I was here first. I worked harder. He hasn't paid his dues. No, we're not. Only are we not equal, we don't want to be equal. We want to be praised for what we've done, and we resent the fact that the other fella gets praised for doing less than we did. But in the kingdom of heaven, life is different. If we insist on being treated according to what we have done, according to our achievements, according to the status we have earned, when we stand before God, we will be paid whatever temporal benefit we have earned, and then we will be invited to leave, take what is yours, and go. On the other hand, if we lay claim not to what nature and nature's God entitles us, but to what the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ gives us, then we will receive more than we could ever deserve or hope to deserve. This is the life of the Christian in God's kingdom, in His holy Christian church. We who are all beggars are all wealthy. We don't demand what we've earned because the wages of sin is death. Instead, we rejoice in the gift. We rejoice in receiving it, and we rejoice when others receive it. Status dissolves into irrelevancy. What can we claim? St. Paul was a man with religious status, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, taught by the famous Rabbi Gamaliel, thoroughly instructed, living a life of moral purity that set him apart from his fellows. It wasn't just his breeding, it was his conduct by which he had attained a religious status that others envied. Listen to what he said about it all in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. But what things were gained for me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God through faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The first shall be last, and the last first. Sometimes people fade away from church because they think that folks have a special status in the church, but they don't deserve it. If people only knew, and she acts so holy, he acts so important, hypocrites. They feel like outsiders looking in, and they don't like the feeling, so they leave. Oh, how I wish they would stay. The angels in heaven rejoice whenever they return. The kingdom of heaven is full of people who, in our eyes, don't deserve to belong. So what? In God's eyes, none of us deserves to belong. But that's what His grace is all about. The very last person you would think of as holy or righteous is the first. The chosen ones of God are those who lay claim to no status at all. They had nothing to contribute, nothing to offer, no work of which to boast. And God saw them, loved them, called them, and adopted them as His own. They were nobodies, and they knew it. God treasures them as His dear children. They work in the kingdom, but it's not really work. Living under the grace of God, whatever work they do is easy and light because they know it won't establish their status. That has already been established for them by their Savior who loved them and gave Himself for them. Amen. The name of this broadcast is Christ for Us, because when He gave Himself for us, that established our status. That is the basis of our hope. That's what we trust in. And through that faith, God gives us everlasting life. We're glad you tune in to this broadcast on every week. We'd like to invite you to the services of our parish on Sunday morning. We have divine service at St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview, and we have divine service at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning at Trinity Lutheran Church in Sydney. Please tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.